80% of life, 80% of sports is mental. So the way we work out, the way we run, the way we train, are we putting that same attention to detail, that same effort into just making sure that we're okay? Whether it's talk therapy, meditation, you know, going for a walk and practicing mindfulness. You know, there's a lot of things that we can do daily. We have to. It's a muscle. Our brain is a muscle.
Hey there, you're listening to Virago Pod, a podcast that is dedicated to empowering and improving the physical and mental health of female athletes everywhere.
This podcast is brought to you by The Virago Project, a nonprofit organization that helps female athletes balance sports with life.
I'm your host, Emily McGee Zaslowski.
And I'm your co-host, Taylor Tracy. Let's jump right into the episode.
Hi, Virago Warriors, and welcome back to episode 19 of Virago Pod. You'll notice pretty quick this episode is going to be a little different because it's actually our founder, Taylor Tracy, getting interviewed. She wasn't the only guest on this webinar. Six-time Pro Bowler, NFL player Brandon Marshall was also interviewed as part of this panel, and he had some really amazing insight and inspiring words that we it was too good not to share with our listeners today. So we're going to be listening to this webinar. First, I want to give a big shout out to LRT Sports, who invited us to become on this webinar. It was a phenomenal talk, phenomenal conversation, and really nicely run. So we're really looking forward to working with Hannah, who's the host of today's webinar / podcast, along with Leanne from The Hidden Opponent. The Hidden Opponent is such a great nonprofit that focuses on a lot of the things that Virago Project does for both male and female athletes. So this episode is going to be Brandon Marshall, Hannah from LRT Sports, Taylor, our Taylor from Virago Project, and Leanne of The Hidden Opponent. So it starts off with Brandon Marshall, and he just touches on a lot of the pressures from feeling needing to be perfect and the stigma of mental health. He has a challenge for us as teammates, coaches, friends, and parents to educate ourselves on what mental health is and what resources are available for our loved ones and how we can be there to support them. Because of the truth of the matter is, mental health is kind of at a crisis during this pandemic, and you may not have thought that you had a mental health issue that needed attention until this pandemic came. So it's always better to know what resources are available before you need them. I edited out the beginning where it was just kind of introductions and, you know, welcome aboards while we waited for more viewers to come in. So you're going to hear Hannah just starting right off the bat with Brandon about why, you know, this cause and mental health and ending the stigma is so important to Brandon. So let's hear from Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, Brandon, I'm going to stop sharing my screen so you have everybody's attention and you can kind of introduce yourself.
What you guys are doing is amazing. It's phenomenal. It's needed. And this is what it's all about. I wish, you know, more people understood how powerful this is and how much it's needed, because, you know, community is everything. And statistics show us that our first break is usually from 18 to 24. And where are we on the college campus? And at this point of our life, we may not always understand how to deal with it or what's going on. So we may be suffering in silence. And the first people that recognize it are our peers. The first people that we run to when we do recognize it, it's our peers, it's our teammates, right? So we have to be sharp and we have to understand how to have these conversations. It's peer-to-peer. It is, to me, is the most impactful thing that we can do on a college campus, especially as athletes. As athletes, like, there's so much pressure on us, you know, like to perform and to be excellent every day, every practice, every game. You know, people don't, it's a unique experience. It's an amazing experience. You know, we're being developed and stretched in so many ways. And if we can get through it, you know, it's going to help us in so many different areas of our life, whether it's marriage, whether it's raising our kids in the future, leading businesses, developing relationships. It just helps us in so many ways, but it's unhealthy, you know, because this is like the only profession for real where it's like every day, you know, you're being held accountable. you're being told what you didn't do great, right? Because that is the way as an athlete. Some coaches are getting it right now and starting to change their ways, but it's, we turn on film, they're looking at what we didn't do well. Well, Brandon, you ran that 12-yard route and you were just an inch short. I need you an inch, just an inch deeper. If you'd have pumped your arms like this, or if you'd have stepped like that, and it's like, man, where's the positive reinforcement, right? So we think as athletes and high achievers that we have to, always be great. And when we're not, it messes with our mental. And it's the same in school, right? Like, we come from places where we may be the best in class, whether on the field, in a classroom, and then we get to a college campus and it's like, oh, like, this person from the other side of town or another state is kick ass. They're like, I'm not the best person on my team anymore. How do I deal with going from being the best to now just being, a part of a team? So, so it's an interesting time you guys are in.
Yeah, no, I think that was awesome. And I think kind of the way you related it to being a student athlete and always having to be perfect is so prevalent with student athletes now, because you see so many kids wanting to go D1 because that's like the stigma is like, you have to go D1 if you're a good athlete. And there's schools that are maybe D2 or D3 that are just as competitive, if not more. So in terms of kind of battling that and taking on that role of wanting to be perfect, what advice would you give to athletes, male, female, like whatever sport, what advice would you give to those athletes that are struggling with mental health, or they're struggling with depression? Who do they go to? What types of things do they say? Should they go to their peers, coaches first? Like, what have you seen in your experience that you can offer?
Yeah, exactly what I said from the beginning. It's peer-to-peer on college, right? Because that's what we're usually comfortable with. So whether it's us, a loved one or a friend, like we gotta prepare ourselves. We gotta understand what anxiety is. We gotta understand what depression is. We gotta understand what a panic attack is, right? Do you know the difference between a panic attack and a heart attack? A lot of people think they're dying. You gotta be able to understand that so you can walk them through that. So I think it starts with us in educating ourselves so we're equipped to have these conversations. And obviously talk therapy is critical. The professionals, like there are resources on campus, but do you know what those resources are and who you can talk to? So like, ask, open up your mouth, right? Well, let me backtrack a little bit. I would say there's a book called Body Mind Mastery by Dan Millman. And I would say read that book. And it's going to put a lot of things in perspective for us. Because I think a lot of us student athletes, we struggle with, just trying to figure out who are we, when it comes to our sport, who are we in a classroom? What's next? Like a lot of stuff, like worlds are colliding right now. Relationships, boyfriend, girlfriends, like there's so much going on and you got to navigate through it. So that book will put a lot of things in perspective. He also wrote a book called The Way of the Peaceful Warrior. And I highly recommend that all athletes read it, because a lot of our struggles come from, not understanding who we are and our identity. A lot of times is wrapped up in the sport, and that's where a lot of struggle happens and starts. So, I'm a big believer in just the fundamentals. So being prepared, being equipped, it doesn't have to be like some people deal with anxiety, depression, bipolar disorder, borderline personality disorder, and you go on and on, psychosis. Like, there's some serious stuff out there. Are we intentionally, developing our mind and training our brain, and I don't know if we are all the time. Like, 80% of life, 80% of sports is mental. So the way we work out, the way we run, the way we train, are we putting that same attention to detail, that same effort into just making sure that we're okay? Whether it's talk therapy, meditation, going for a walk and practicing mindfulness. And there's a lot of things that we can do daily. We have to. It's a muscle. Our brain is a muscle. So understand that and equip yourself.
Yeah, no, that was awesome. And I know somebody asked if you could say the first book again. I think it was Body Mind Mastery, right?
Correct, Dan Millman. And the second one was The Way of the Peaceful Warrior.
Yeah. So I know there's another question for you in terms of kind of COVID and kind of building off of that, relationships are tested. How has COVID affected mental health in your opinion? And have you had any issues struggling with that, or how have you coped with it?
Yeah, COVID is, it's tough. It's hard as hell, right? Like for the first time ever, there's a lot of people experiencing anxiety, depression for the first time, right? There's a lot of us on this call that's like, oh, I've been there before. I understand. I know what that feels like, right? But this is a tough time for all of us. And for me, yeah, it's extremely tough. I think, you know, as and like, how are you? Just simple, how are you? You know, let's talk. You know, are you okay? You know, I think that's where it starts, right? Because, you know, we never know what someone's going through. So I truly believe that COVID is highlighting how important mental health is. A lot of people are struggling. So you're not alone. And it's not a unique situation. It's universal. There's some, like I said, some people never dealt with this before. They don't even know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can kind of speak on my truth. I've definitely struggled first half of this semester with anxiety, never had experienced it before. And I was like, what's wrong with me? Like, how do I fix this? So that was something that was definitely difficult to go through. But, you know, again, like, you need to have those conversations. You need to be talking with your teammates, classmates, you know, anybody that's like truly in your life, definitely connect with them on it. So.
Right. Yep. Exactly.
Are you good for one more?
Yes.
Okay. All right. It is Brandon. Can you tell us the time if you were dealing with mental health and depression in college or now, and how have you dealt with it?
Yeah, well, I didn't know, you know, then it was showing up in my life more of like just emotional disorder, behavioral, you know, just being able to cope and deal with the stress, but it was coming out just in outbursts, things like that, you know, not getting along with teammates and coaches here and there. It wasn't until I was in the NFL where I realized something was wrong. It was actually when I stepped on the football field, because the football field was always my sanctuary. So it was always my escape, no matter what was going on. And I was always a high performer. It's like I could always block out anything and get the job done. And then one day, playing for the Miami Dolphins, I go out there on the practice field and I drop 4 balls in a row. And I'm like, damn, like that was the first time I was able to contribute that to what was going on off the field. And I was like, I need help. And it's kind of backwards, right? Because it's like, it took you dropping a ball in the football field to realize something was wrong. It's like, yeah. So once we started peeling back those layers and start going deeper, I started understanding that there was more to it. And I was actually diagnosed with borderline personality disorder. And the best way to describe that is a emotional disorder. I didn't have the skills and tools naturally to cope with the just regular stresses of the day, right? I didn't have the skills and tools to be able to get myself back down to baseline. What I felt was valid, but I didn't know how to deal with it, right? So I went to McLean Hospital, spent 3 months in an outpatient program. I was diagnosed with BPD, and the program was self-assessment. That's group therapy, dialectical behavior therapy, socialization therapy, cognitive behavior therapy. And I did that every day from 8 to 5 for 3 months, and it changed my life. And that's why I'm so passionate about it. You know, my journey it was unique. My journey wasn't, it was unique, but it's something that I think that a lot of us deal with, and it can present itself in so many different ways. So hopefully that answered your question.
Yeah, no, you did. And I'm really thankful that you shared your story and you were able to kind of bring a light to that in your own personal way. And I know that it's going to help a lot of people that are watching this, that are going to watch it because it's recorded. So super thankful that you were able to hop on and really bring a light to it. So
I love what you're doing. And, you know, you guys just continue to lean into this group and invite friends. You know, it should be all of you guys. You know, I do think that we should be intentional in inviting people to a space like this, because it affects all of us, almost 320 million Americans, and over like right around 100 that are personally affected by it. So don't feel ashamed, feel that you're less than, you know, like it affects all of us. If it's not you, it's a loved one, you know, a loved one is a neighbor, right? So eventually it's going to come back to touch you, you know, and it might not be you right now. It could be you a couple months from now. So even those out there that, you know, friends out there that you may think is good and they're well, still invite them, still share, still have these conversations. Take it from a taboo topic to everyday conversations.
Thank you for hopping on and sharing your story.
All right, bet. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. All right, guys. So really glad that Brandon was able to hop on. We'll get right back into it. But I'll just introduce myself real quick. Brandon, you know, obviously a lot of you guys signed up to hear him talk, as well as Leanne and Taylor. So pumped that Brandon got his time in, and I'm really excited for everybody else to really share their truth, share their story. A little bit about me. I'm a business development associate at LRT Sports. I'm the one that kind of led the forefront on this event to really break the stigma and make a change throughout college athletics, high school athletics, and really the entire sports industry. I'm a current Division II athlete at Ashton University, so this is my last COVID semester. Looking forward to playing. It's been about 16 months since I've touched the field, so I'm excited to get out there. And, you know, I'm a mental health and self-love advocate. I've had discussions about self-worth and with my teammates, family, friends, so I'm excited to get after it with you guys. And I'll just do a brief rundown of LRT Sports, which is what I work for. We're the leading company in college coach ratings, and we help high school athletes understand college athletics and going through the recruiting process. I'm sure a lot of you guys have experienced the really tough and confusing time that it takes to get recruited and how to talk to coaches. So we definitely clear that up. You can go on there. You can look at the coaches' ratings that are offered. So for my coach, you can go on. I think he has like a 4.8 stars out of 5. So he's definitely up there, one of the good coaches. But if you guys are going through the recruiting process, check it out. But that's what we do. And we offer a lot of articles, videos, updates on NCAA. Just really important information that is essential to the recruiting process and to college athletes as well. And I'll kick it over to the Virago Project. So Taylor, go ahead.
Oh, okay, great. Well, I already told you guys a little bit about myself, but I guess this is my time to share the mental health story, the reason why we're all here. But I'll start again. So I played volleyball at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, and I redshirted my freshman year and finally found my way onto the court my junior year in 2014. I felt like I was finally a contributing player. I felt like I had a purpose, because after spending 2 years on the bench, when you're an athlete and you're putting all of your time and effort and energy in the afternoons to practice and traveling and games, and of course your teammates, when you finally get to play and you gain some amount of respect and related to your performance, it feels good. So I felt really purposeful that year on the court, but things were definitely going on outside of sports that impacted me in a way that still sits with me today and has caused me to become a mental health advocate. So I think a lot of the time when people are looking at athletes, especially student athletes, and especially like elite athletes like Brandon Marshall, right? He just came on and said that he struggled with borderline personality disorder. But you know, what people know about him is that he's a six-time Pro Bowler and he's done all of these incredible things on the football field. Like, people forget, like, there's a person behind the athlete. And I didn't really understand that concept until my junior year when things were great for me on paper. I was playing well. My team was ranked top 10 in the nation. We won ACC championships. I was a go-to player on campus. I had like the perfect relationship. I had a great group of friends. Everyone thought that I had everything together, but outside of that athletic identity that was forward facing to the public, I was really, really struggling. And I think that for me, and I want other athletes who are listening to this, especially if you have a similar kind of story, for me, it was like home life. Okay. So like family problems, these things aren't talked about in athletics, because we go to school and we're living in this perfect bubble and everyone's like, oh, it's okay. But like, what's going on at home? So my brother was diagnosed with schizophrenia that, you know, obviously created ripples in my family life. And it was really hard to like be at school and feel like I was on top of the world with like volleyball and everything. But then to know at home, my older brother was struggling with the mental health disorder that like, our family had never talked about mental health. Mental health wasn't talked about in sports. So it's like, what do you do, right? Like, I had no idea how to circumnavigate this. And then other life things popped up. You know, you go into a bad breakup and you're getting ready to graduate and like you have no idea what you're going to do. Am I going to play professionally? Like, what's my purpose? What do I do next? And like all of these things. And it led me to a place that was like just really dark. And I know, like, Leanne, I've heard Victoria's story several times, and I've heard her say, I think it was in her TED talk when she said, like, sometimes I would walk on the street and I would see a car coming and just think, like, what if I stopped in front of it? And like straight up for like the entire spring of like my senior year, I had so many thoughts just like that, like while I was walking from campus and going back to my apartment that was like a mile off. So I'm really happy that like people are talking more about these issues now, and that it's just become a bit more public knowledge that like student athletes are suffering inside. Because I know like friends and family members, like they're always like, oh, like you did so great and like this and like how's volleyball? And like all they see is like that person, when it's like, hey, I'm dealing with things like so much more on my own. And like sometimes I just need to like separate myself from this. So ultimately for me, like I ended up leaving professional volleyball, not because I wasn't invited back on a team or because I got hurt or anything, but because in trying to deal with all of that, I developed an eating disorder. I was depressed and just didn't know what to do. So yeah, I'm happy we're here talking about this. I don't want to take up too much more screen time, but that is just like a brief synopsis of what my experience has been, why I'm doing what I'm doing, and yeah.
I know, that was awesome, and your story is amazing. So if you guys have a chance to check out Taylor, go check her out. She's got an amazing story and really has an amazing truth that she shares. So Leanne, go ahead.
Yeah, sure thing. Hi guys, my name's Leanne, as I said, Chief Operations Officer and Victoria Garrick's co-partner at the Hidden Opponent. Huge honor to be here with y'all. I'm super excited to be here. And, you know, while the Hidden Opponent focuses more so on collegiate athletes, these issues, right, are ones that start so much earlier. I hope we have some high schoolers on the call, because I think LRT has a really great target demographic of you guys. And these things are stuff that starts way earlier. So backing up a bit into my story, I'm from New Jersey, and I played really competitive national level club soccer through middle school and high school. But my sophomore year of high school, I decided to attend a boarding school. So my academics kind of took on the main priority, and soccer kind of took on a little bit of a secondary role. Although I was pretty dead set on that one specific D1 school that I was in contact with. And kind of as Hannah was saying, you know, this idea that to go D1 means you were a successful athlete, right? But Hannah and I, neither of us went D1. We're still here. And I like to think that we're still doing pretty well, right? And then mid-sophomore year, I'm 16 years old, and I learn of the loss of Madison Hollerin, who was an older girl that I played soccer with my freshman year of high school. And she was a runner at UPenn, and her story has since blown up in the media. There was a viral ESPN article on her, the Washington Post, the New York Times, a best-selling novel. The list kind of goes on and on as to how far her story has reached. And the story that everyone else kept telling was about how perfect her life seemed, right? And I can attest, as a freshman in high school, every single person on our team and in our high school, honestly, looked up to her, thought she was amazing. She was like the quintessential popular, like hometown hero kind of girl. And I remember when my mom told me what had happened, I was just so young, and it was like my bubble of innocence had kind of popped, you know? And I didn't understand fully like what mental health was. I didn't fully grasp the concept of suicide, but the tragedy has definitely helped me figure myself out, figure out my priorities, figure out my own mental health issues later on down the road. And a lot of the work that I do, obviously I keep her in mind. So I think that's super special. And then my junior year of high school, I suffered a couple concussions in a row, and my own mental health started to take a toll, whether that has something to do with the concussions themselves or, you know, being away from sport or whatever it may be. And I do some soul searching about what I wanted my college experience to look like. And I decided that I really needed more of an all-encompassing experience. So I started looking at D3 schools. And I ended up playing soccer at Washington Lee University, small liberal arts school in Lexington, Virginia. I only graduated last year, so this is my first year in the workforce. I'm a high school English teacher, and I coach soccer and lacrosse, which has been a huge passion point for me, and I see it as like a great extension of my own athletic career. I also actually played a year of lacrosse at WNL when the coach called me up because the team had so many injuries, so that was a great time and kind of new challenge to take on, but it was great to play for a really talented and incredible team. But the D3 experience, like for me, the uniqueness and the special part of it was that I was able to explore a lot outside of my sport. And that's something that I really thrived on and enjoyed. Of course, like any D3 athlete that might be here knows that your experience is still very much centered around your sport, but you definitely do have a bit more opportunity to explore outside as well. So for example, I studied abroad for a full semester and that was huge for me. I completely pushed myself out of my comfort zone, went to Australia for a full semester, absolutely loved it. And I actually picked up another sport in rugby and continued to play club rugby after I got back to the US. And it's funny, I actually had a pretty overall negative experience in college surrounding my main sport of soccer, mostly due to my coach, but finding myself outside of soccer was probably the best thing I ever could have done for myself as a person. And my sports career actually ended rather unexpectedly for me, and I didn't get to play my senior year. And while it did feel like the world was crumbling around me, I made it, right? Like I'm still here. And yes, of course, like I still love soccer, but I can appreciate all the other things outside of that too. So often we give ourselves this singular identity of like athlete and we just put ourselves in that box, you know, when I know for a fact that I'm sure everyone on this call has a ton of talents and passions outside of your sport. And then an opponent actually did a really great campaign recently that we coined Not Just an Athlete, where we encourage people to take some time to celebrate all the things they are outside of sport. And it was really powerful for me to create my own post and read other people's posts. So if I had to sum up my message tonight, I guess it would be to really take advantage of all your skills and all of what your school has to offer and all of what the college years have to offer, including things outside of the athletic community. Being an athlete will absolutely be like the core of who I am, like always, but I found in my transition to the real world that I'm relying heavily on the lessons I learned and the skills I developed from being in sports for so long. And I'm just really glad that I took the time in college to figure out what I wanted to do next, explore different career options and whatnot. And if any of this struck a chord with you guys, I hope something did, please feel free to reach out. I love talking about these things. That's why we do this advocacy work. And make sure you guys head out with some contact information for us. So thanks for having me.
Awesome. Yeah, Leanne, you have a really great story and we were able to chat on the phone about it. So if you guys are on the call, definitely check hers out, hers and Taylor. They have amazing stories and they're really just like on the inside and out, like beautiful people. So definitely like take advice from them, write it down, whatever you need to do to help yourself throughout life. So this is me. This is my story. So like I said before, I'm a current Division II athlete, and Leanne touched on it a little bit as well, that you don't need to go D1 to be a great athlete. You can go D2, you can go D3. A lot of times if you don't have the grades, you can't go D1. So in my case, I graduated high school with a 2.5 GPA. And at the time, like grades weren't my priority. I wasn't really thinking about it, but looking back, that was such a stepping stone that I didn't realize that I should have taken advantage of. So I came in my freshman year with a clean slate in college and ended up with a 3.5 my first semester because my parents said that they were going to bring me home if I didn't. So it was kind of a two-way street there. But, you know, I really changed who I was and came in and wanted to write a new story for me. I wanted to become the person that I've always wanted to be, and I wanted to influence the energy in the room and really become the person that I had dreamed about. So in terms of the mental health and body image advocacy and self-love, not all heroes wear capes. And a lot of times with mental health, like Brandon said, you lean on your peers, you lean on your teammates, because those are the people that are closest to you. You know if they're struggling, you know if they're having a tough time. And, you know, you can ask somebody how they're doing and they give you a blanket answer of, yeah, I'm good. But you really need to ask the question of, like, how are you really doing? And then a lot of times it's like an onion, like you peel back the layers and you find the truth in their hurt and you help them, whether it's you talking to them or you're talking to a trainer or a coach to help them, because at the end of the day, you want to see them succeed. And you want to be there for them because they are your teammates. You know, you love them, whether you guys have any beef or not, you know, that's your team, that's your family. And then in terms of just kind of being an advocate, you have to be vulnerable. You have to talk about your story. You have to talk about your truth. So for me, this past year with COVID and everything, it was crazy, a whirlwind, and 2020 was kind of a trash can. That's what I like to call it. But, you know, on the other side of it, you know, it was a blessing in disguise. I was able to figure out who I was outside of sports, to Leanne's point. You know, I'm a soccer player. Yeah, I'm great at playing soccer and being a goalkeeper, but I'm an even better person because I'm there for my teammates when they need me. I'm there for my family when they need me. But I also take time for myself to make sure that I'm doing things for self-care or for my mental health to make sure I'm always in check, because, you know, you can't pour from an empty cup. You have to make sure that you're always good to make sure you can help everybody else that's in your life. And that's the biggest thing, is to be an encourager. And I pride myself on being, you know, a really hard worker, but I also pride myself on when I walk into the room, like the energy shifts, it's an energy change. You know, I want it to be lively. I want it to be fun. I don't want it to be, you know, I walk in and it's like, oh, you want to walk in and you want to be in a great environment. And that's how teams succeed. That's how you succeed in life. And it's way outside of sports. If you can walk into a job interview with that energy, you're set, like you're good to go. And that's my biggest thing. And then the last point that I'll touch on is I was listening to a podcast the other day while I was lifting, and it was Eric Thomas. I'm sure you guys have listened to him before. He's a great motivational speaker. And I was listening to it and I kind of related it to mental health, because he was talking about when you walk into your house, you know, if you turn on a light, they charge you. Like, it costs money to turn on lights. It costs money to use a microwave. So they're going to charge you. So when you take that and you apply it to everything else in your life, if it's a friendship that's a little bit toxic, they're charging you because they're putting all of that weight onto your shoulders. But like, they're not paying you. They're giving you all that energy, all that negative, and they're not paying you. So you need to kind of take that energy and you need to decide if it's something that's worth it or something that's not worth it. And this goes for relationships, friendships, and even family. I know it's a really tough conversation, but if there's a family member that is negatively charging you, you can't have that in your life for your own mental state. And I think that's a really tough concept to think about. And it's not that you're completely removing them, but you're reshifting them. You're realigning them into a different area where that's not your sole focus, and you're not going to be that person that they constantly go to. So just in terms of self-love and advocating for yourself, you just need to reposition people. And that's what I'm really big on, is prioritizing who's important to you, what's important to you. If you're really busy and you know that there's somebody in your life that you are relying on and they rely on you, then you need to prioritize that rather than relationships that take from you, that don't give. So that's a bit of my truth. That's a bit of me being an authentic, real person. And I hope that my story can relate with you guys a little bit. And if there's anybody that's struggling and needed that sign, you know, I hope this is your sign to either remove that person in your life or to realign them. But I'm glad that I was able to share that and really, you know, help you guys break the stigma of mental health, of being okay to not being okay. And really just sparking that conversation. And kind of to Brandon's point, you know, we want to be able to have these conversations. We want to be able to have one 2-3 months later, with Leanne, with Taylor. We want to bring in other people to really just be like an open table round talk about mental health. And okay, you're not okay, but let's talk about it. So I'm just really grateful to be on this call and to have Leanne and Taylor on here, and really for them to share their stories and share their truth. So if you guys have any questions, put them into the chat box and we'll get right into our open discussion so we can answer those. So the first one that we have is, as a principal and basketball coach and having a sister with mental illness, they're really eager to learn about the mental health awareness, especially during the pandemic. And I'm not sure if you guys are able to answer this, but have you been able to see like the troubling signs of mental health, and how have you been able to like find that and help people get help?
Maybe take that, just that as like a young educator and a young teacher, I'm teaching in person right now, and I see my kids are definitely feeling the effects of the pandemic. As an athlete, we always go to the athletic trainers, right, for our bodies, or we go to the gym to lift. But I think I was maybe one of two kids on my soccer team that openly talked about going to therapy for my mind. And I definitely felt a huge stigma with that, maybe my freshman and sophomore year. But towards the end, I was like, no, I go to therapy and it's cool and I like it. Like, it helps me talk out things that I need to talk out. So I'm a huge proponent of that, and kind of just normalizing the idea that, yeah, like I use therapy, like maybe you could too, maybe you could benefit from it. So that's something that I always like to do.
I mean, I agree with Leanne 100%. I think finding help is never anything to be ashamed of. I've been with the Virago Project, like going around doing workshops and stuff since the summer. And it's really apparent that these athletes are struggling. I work part-time in a school too. So like, I know that the students are struggling as well. Like not just going to therapy, but also like what Brandon said, like talk therapy, doing what we're doing here, talking to your friend. If you can find professional help, that's great. Some people don't have access to it. There are resources out there. For example, I know like you guys have worked with Leah Howard, the sports counselor, and she introduced me to a really good resource, openpathcollective.org, which is like this website that will connect counselors with people who don't have health insurance. And I think that's really important for people who like literally just can't find a therapist. But yeah, talking to your friends and seeking help however you can.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not gonna touch on anything because you guys answered it perfectly. But one of our next questions that we have, and Taylor, this is tailored for you. So it is, how did you learn to love your body and accept your athletic body?
That's a good question. I'm still learning today how to love my body. I mean, I think the thing with like when you struggle with disordered eating, eating disorders, body image, a lot of people who like go through, I guess, like recovery, I feel like there's just a lot of like information out there. Like I went through eating recovery, ED recovery, and like now I'm done. And like, I'm here to tell you, like, that's totally not the case. Like, if you struggle with body image and you struggle with eating disorders, you're like likely to struggle with it for the rest of your life. And like, that's totally okay. It's like the process is more important than the results. Like, you just gotta like keep trying. If you're going to therapy, like keep going to therapy, keep like reframing your thoughts. That's something I do. Like when I catch myself comparing myself to someone, or when I'm standing in front of the mirror in the morning and like dissecting every part of my body, or like when, if I have a thought of like, okay, what am I going to get at the grocery store? And I feel my thoughts getting like anxious and like repetitive and, just weird like that, like just like educating myself as much as possible has been key, because now I can like recognize those thoughts when they come up and be like, hey, wait, like, I know where this is coming from. I know where this is stemming from. I know what like society has done to make me feel this way as well, which I think is really important. So yeah, I think just educating yourself as much as possible and like being okay with the fact that like, you may never have a perfect relationship with your body, but like knowing like, when the thoughts arise, like, hey, I can identify this and do something about it.
Yeah, 100%. And kind of with that and being able to recognize it and reframe your thoughts, were there any really low points for you where you kind of were close to hitting rock bottom before you were able to kind of recognize those thoughts? And how did you kind of come out of there?
So I hit rock bottom. So when I was in grad school, like the first semester of grad school, and this was after, so I retired, whatever, from professional volleyball in the beginning of 2017, and I started grad school that fall, and I still was struggling with bulimia, binging, purging, like that's the cycle. And at the end of my grad school semester, things like got super crazy with school. I was in England, so I was away from my family, and the cycle just kept going. Like it was rock bottom for me. But like in rock bottom, I feel like that's the point where like change can happen and like miracles. Don't let yourself get there, but like For me, like, that's the point where I like looked at myself in the mirror and I was like, Taylor, like, you deserve better than this. Like, you 100, like, is this going to be your narrative for the rest of your life? Is this what you're going to do? And like, for me, that's kind of was like the turning moment where I was like, I need help. I'm sick. So things have been looking up ever since. But, you know, as soon as you see the warning signs for disordered eating, or like body image issues, I say like, go seek a therapist right away, or go seek help right away. Don't wait until you get to where I was, or like at the ultimate, like, worst situation.
Yeah. And I appreciate you being so open and transparent with that, because I know it can be tough, but you know, you're changing lives by sharing your story. So we're super appreciative of that. Our next question, and Taylor, we'll kind of kick this one back to you. It was, find yourself in a bad mental spot. Do you have any activities or practices that have helped you improve your state of mind during those times?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if I'm being like totally honest, I've been finding myself in bad mental spots like for the last year. And I think the pandemic has definitely brought that out in me and in a lot of people. But I think like getting outside is crucial for me. So just walking and like not, like extending myself grace, like not being like, okay, did I work out today? Like I used to be like very strict about like how much I worked out and stuff like that. And like now I'm just like, hey, like whatever feels good to your body, do it. And that's helped a lot. Just like going on strolls outside, talking to friends, the Virago Project, like creating graphics and like doing research for it has been very cathartic. So that's been an escape for me too. So I think like just doing things that feel good to you, whether that's creating something, or, you know, going for a stroll outside or going to therapy, or just talking to someone.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you for that. And then the next one is, when you feel like someone is judging you or not taking symptoms of your mental health seriously, how do you handle that? Or how do you stand up for yourself?
I think in the end of the day, as nervous as I was to talk about my struggles, whether it was with family or friends,
is when you feel like someone is judging you or not taking symptoms of your mental health seriously, how do you handle that? Or how do you stand up for yourself? Either
it's like my authentic truth, right? Like that's my story. And I was an English major. I'm an English teacher. How I got involved with the Hidden Opponent in the first place was being their editor in chief. So telling stories, I love storytelling. And if you're not being authentic to yourself, like, I feel like you're only really cheating yourself. Right. So it's hard. I'm not going to say it's easy, but I kind of took on this attitude of, you know, this is my truth. I'm going to live it. I'm going to share it when I feel comfortable. And if someone doesn't believe it and I've faced those people, right, including my college coach, that's not a me problem. That's a them problem. And I just knew that my authentic, like me being authentic, felt better than them, like not understanding, maybe. I don't know if that makes 100% sense, but I just felt solid in me being me. I think that goes for a lot of things, not just mental health, right?
I love that. Yeah, sorry, I was just gonna respond right away, because like I loved what Leanne just said, because I feel like she's so right. Like, it's a them thing, it's not a you thing. And like the deeper I get into this like mental health community, the more I realize like the people who are here willing to show up and learn like are so much more, I mean, woke on these topics than like the everyday person. And like, you can't, like, because mental health is so stigmatized in society, like you can't expect someone who hasn't like done the work to like really understand what you're going through always. So I thought that was a really powerful thing you said, Leanne, just like being confident in like yourself and like standing firm and what you're feeling, because like it's your reality at the end of the day. It's not anyone else's.
So just to add real quick, like these conversations we're having right now, like it's a testament to how many people do love you and like understand you. And that's like what Virago and the Hidden Opponent is all about, like finding those like-minded people and putting them in the same place. I've been shocked at how many friends and like allies and supporters I've found from complete strangers that just happen to stumble across. Like right now, like Hannah and Taylor, like they're like my new friends, you know, like I feel like I could talk to them about like stuff. But I think it's amazing. You'll find more people that love you and want to support you than not.
Yeah, 100%. And to Taylor's and to your points, Leanne, the people that, you know, are having these conversations, you kind of click like this. Like, it's so easy when you like are able to talk about your mental health struggles, like you so easily build that deep relationship. And I know like in my own relationships, I have one friend who we openly have those conversations. And I remember one day she just turned to me, she's like, yeah, she's like, I just think I really know you. I'm like, yeah, because it's so open and honest that you're not hiding anything. You're not being your full truth. So to Leanne and Taylor's point, like 100% on the money. So just continue to be open and have those conversations.
I have something to say because you just made me think, Hannah, you said earlier that like you need to, like some people will come into your life and like tax you and like charge you and they don't give anything to you. And like just this conversation made me think of this time when I was in grad school, like trying to start these conversations and some guy like on the men's volleyball team while I was sitting, like we were sitting in a pub trying to have a conversation. And he said like, you're so intense, like with a negative connotation. Like he said that I'm too intense for like just bringing up mental health. And like, that just shows where, where like some people are. And I mean, that was like a very like negative experience, but yeah, like surround yourself with people who are willing to talk about these things. It makes life so much better.
Yeah. I mean, and you can just tell a lot of times, like when you have those open conversations, there's people that are open and there's people that's not. And again, that's the energy, just push it away, realign it in your life. And we do have time for one more question. So this is to Taylor or Leanne. How did you manage the transition into the workforce when college athletics was over? And did you have to deal with mental health or depression? And kind of how did you deal with that?
I'll give my, I could get on my soapbox about this one, but I'll give you my shorter version. It kind of goes back to the same thing I was saying before, is that being an athlete will always be at the core of who you are. And you're just taking those skills into your like next game, like whatever that game is, right? For me, it's teaching and coaching. For you, it could be whatever your profession is. But like you don't lose any part of you or any part of your athletic experience, right? I always like to say too, just kind of my last little tidbit on that is like, no matter who you are, whether you are like Abby Wambach, one of my favorites, who plays till she's like 45 or something crazy, or you're me and your college career actually ended your junior year rather than your senior year, like there's always that time where you like hang up the cleats. Right. And I think like that it's so good for me to remember that like everyone does that, like everyone's career ends eventually. And that kind of brings me this like humility and sense of, you know, we all go through it at some point. Maybe not Tom Brady, I'm not sure, but we'll stay tuned for that. I do live in Tampa and I'm not a Tom Brady fan, but yeah, it's a conflict of interest. But, you know, I just like to think that we all have our time and so many people have gone through it. So same thing, don't be afraid to talk about it and figure out what that next game is for you.
Yeah, upon graduation, you guys will definitely be getting a call from me because I'm sure I'll have some college athlete withdrawal. But yeah, no, I think your guys' answers are perfect. I would touch on being in the workforce, but obviously I'm still in school, full-time student athlete. So yeah, you guys will definitely get a call from me. But I just wanted to definitely just thank you guys so much for being on today and sharing your truth, sharing your story, and being so open and honest about breaking the stigma and being an advocate for yourselves, for your teammates, for those that are around you. And I'm sure all the participants are grateful to be on the call, grateful to hear from you guys and apply your stories to their own lives and make a difference and make a change. But I just want to say thank you so much to everybody that attended, everybody that's on the call, and to these amazing woman, and to Brandon, I know he's already gone, but he shared his story and his truth. So just super thankful. I hope everybody has an amazing night, and I'm looking forward to setting up another one of these, and it'll be more of an open discussion. So, awesome.
Thanks so much, Hannah. This has been awesome.